You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Today is incredible. I'll tell you, what an honor to sit here where I sit and meet such incredible people that have made such incredible contributions to the community, to their family, to their own spiritual well-being. And this guy, wow, he knew Martin Luther King. He's been from Park Avenue to Park Bench, moved here, grew up here, but has a heck of a story. I've got Reverend Walter here with me today, and he's going to share some of his story of just a life of so much opportunity and so much destruction. He's got an incredible attitude, so I'm very happy to introduce you to Walter, who just picked up 7 years of sobriety and recovery from alcohol and drugs. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, Lisa.
Thank you so
much. Pleasure to be here.
Wow, there's just so much that we don't know about each other in the world, isn't there?
That is true.
So tell us about you. We don't have a whole lot of time. We'll have to hear more and more, but you're story's fantastic. Start telling us about
it. Back in the 50s, about 1953, my family moved here from the state of Mississippi. And upon my arrival and going into the school system, and it was really a culture shock to me. I came out of a totally black environment. The black church is where I was born, grew up. My mother taught in an all-black school. I sat in the corner, or I sat next to her desk, and it was totally black. And,
wow.
But to come to Evansville, integration had just started somewhat, especially at Stanley Hall School. It was about 350 students and just 8 of us black. So a lot of things were new to me, and it started in kind of in my childhood, escape from realities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I can first put my finger on some of my seeking to be a cover-up, or seeking to escape realities and deal with life as it is. And so that's kind of where I go back to. Even though at that young age I was not using nor abusing anything, but I think the tendencies
mm-hmm.
were already there and developing.
Mm-hmm.
And later on in life, in high school and then in college, I wasn't a flower child, but I remember the Cascade Mountains in New York. And,
oh, yes.
I experienced certainly some positive things in the 60s, going to leaving here, going to Atlanta to join where I went to my alma mater undergraduate work, Morehouse College. And that's where I first had the encounter with Dr. King. And my first opportunity, my father had demonstrated and marched here at the 5 and 10 cent store. In
my
fact,
goodness.
He was one of the leaders with it.
Wow.
He and Dr. King, Dr. Caldwell, so on, led lunch counter demonstrations here at the 5 and 10 cent store. Most folk, that's another year. They don't even know what that is.
But, right, right.
They had a counter and they didn't want blacks to eat. My father was that. So I had a little bit of that in me.
Sure.
From listening to them. The motels up and down 41, they kind of integrated those here. But when I became of age and Lisa went to Morehouse, I had encounters with men like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose alma mater was Morehouse. And it was a part of our school to go and listen to him when he would come as a guest to our chapel.
What
and
an honor.
And believe it or not, in the 60s, I had to still, in college, go to chapel every morning. And I...
Were you using yet at that point?
Yes, off and on. Off and on, but never, it was not heavy at that time, but off and on I did.
You said that people were coming to demonstrate and that they'd bring in the drugs.
Sure, people from the East, especially New York.
Yeah,
students would travel to Atlanta. Students would travel from the West Coast, California, to demonstrate with us because of civil rights.
Sure.
They were convinced it was not right.
Right.
And so along with that, some bought drugs and some bought, So in demonstrating, that was an encounter that I also had.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting students from other parts of the country. And sometimes that kind of was a part of the culture.
Yes.
I'm not saying that everybody demonstrated was on drugs or alcohol. That's not what I'm saying. But people who are ill, like I am, you have a tendency to find those and seek out those. It's like
that's a good point.
People know their kind. It's like I don't think I can go anywhere in the United States and not be able to find drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a place that exists that I can't go because I
am, you have that radar.
I have that radar.
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
Students have a tendency to be able to communicate and reach each other mm-hmm. on their level and where they are.
Sure.
More so than where society thinks
wants you to be. Yeah.
So we found each other.
Yes.
And when I left here, left Lincoln High School Central and went on to Atlanta, then my abuse kind of started in spurts. I'd always do enough to try to stay in school.
Mm-hmm.
And about to get put out, I'd do enough to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my folks would hear I'm on probation, come to Atlanta. And then I'd try to buckle down a little bit. It was in and out, roughly. But basically, the illness was there
mm-hmm.
and developing all the time.
Were you wanting and aspiring to be a minister even at that point in your life?
No, I resented it. I said, there are four or five ministers in my family now, my father, my grandfather, which I never knew, my great-grandfather. It goes back to when we landed in this country.
Wow.
There were tribal people who at least expressed to their people as best they could who they were.
Wow.
And it translated into ministers or tribal leaders. And it was just something that I was told, something that I said, well, that's what I'm not going to be. Not a preacher, not a leader.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a businessman. So I, my father wanted me to major in philosophy and religion. I resented that. So I majored in business administration and education. Double minor, really. But
so ministry wasn't even in your menu at that
point. I was not going to be that.
Wow.
I was resentful for going to chapel. I'd gone to church all my life. So when I got to Morehouse, I said, I'm above this.
Yeah. And then
going
found
to chapel
and then found
Dr.
the drugs.
King?
Yeah.
You know, what is that? And then you get demerits if you didn't go. When I got ready for graduation, I had done my major and completed my my major exam of my economics and business and education, all of that. I had completed my, I'm trying to think of the word, my test.
Mm-hmm, the GRE or whatever the test, yeah.
That you have to complete in your major.
To go to master's.
I did that in my junior year.
Wow.
So I was already qualified.
Even getting stoned.
In getting stoned. I was qualified to graduate. A year ahead, but I had demerits from not going to chapel like I should have. To hear such men like Dr. King, Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays, who was president at that time, I didn't want to go what I call church. But it was in me, and I tried to kill it
mm-hmm.
as best I could, but it did not work. It almost killed me. Running from help, and that's kind of
my
story.
Yeah, and we were talking before we started. That's kind of your theme: running from help.
Running from help.
So even at that point in your life, you started on a destructive, rebellious pattern.
I certainly had that, and it was.
And people tried to help you.
Sure.
Your parents.
The older I got, the deeper embedded it became.
The addiction?
The addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this resentment of not being what you are called to be. And I do believe that if God created you, it was not an accident.
Yeah.
There is a purpose for each life, or it would not exist. And so I am convinced and believe that I am what I am. I was that before my mother conceived me in her womb.
Wow.
I was already that. But I resented it.
Yeah.
And I fought against it. And that's the problem with...
Looks like you...
In my community and in... I don't call my calling a profession. I've had some training.
It's a calling.
That I'm appreciative of. In theology,
mm-hmm.
and in business,
sure.
and administration. And I've taught in our Congress of Christian Education almost 17 years in education, of Christian education. But my calling and my natural being is the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I have resented down through the years. And it's a compound, complex situation in the black church today.
What, to be a minister?
To be a minister or to be a Christian in the church with addictions.
It's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon.
Mm-mm-mm.
And in the culture.
Is cancer frowned upon? Is
yes.
heart disease frowned upon? Or any other illness
I mean,
a minister could have?
They are on a different, they have a different... level. They have a different, people see it differently.
But
my
sickness.
My culture, my more ways, my folk ways, my culture teaches me that I am to be able to handle my women, handle my money, and handle my alcohol and drugs. There's no excuse not to be able to do that. You're not a man if you don't do that. It's
wow.
the same thing in my culture that is taught for so many years. Men don't cry.
Right.
It's just as that absurd as that. Addictions. But yet, when I went to jail, when I went to the penitentiary, I saw more of my people there way out of proportion than
That's
what
right.
we are in this country. And it still exists. We're 80-some percent
mm-hmm.
in the penal and in the incarceration. It's an industry.
Yes.
And it's almost built on our people.
That's
because
true.
Of these
drug
addictions.
And alcohol. Yeah.
Drugs and alcohol. And
wow.
what we've done was put it on the back burner, and we've denied that it really exists. But it's in the pulpit as well as the pew.
Yes, and Walter, you're a guy that can help change that tide, hopefully, but it's slow because you have been there and done that.
I have.
You have that experience, strength, and hope.
Yes.
But you have to put up with the discrimination and the stereotyping and the rejection,
yes.
and that's
yes.
that's painful. That's hard. Martin Luther King had to do that, too,
yes,
in his message.
Yes,
so.
He did. But he spoke on this wise that life is not worth living if you don't have something that you're willing to die for.
Wow. Now you guys...
Now, I couldn't get that concept then, but I have it now. I really do.
He believed so strongly in what he did.
In what he did.
And he knew there were forces against him.
And he knew. He told us. He told us. And he didn't bite his tongue that he wanted to live a long life.
Yes.
Normally,
but he knew people
but he always
hated him.
Knew that his life
Mm-mm-mm.
would be cut short because of his beliefs.
Wow. Okay, Tri-State, don't go away. We've got to just take a few minute break. Don't go away. Come back. We have an incredible conversation going on here at Radio Rehab today. We'll be right back.
Hey, you. Yeah, you're listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warren County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back to our talk with Reverend Walter, who has just celebrated 7 years of recovery and has the greatest sponsor, Dr. Tony, who's been on here, and they share a lot of recovery together. Walter, this just goes way too fast, but when we were talking before the show, you talked about you feeling personally for yourself you had to break the curse, and that for people to get well and get clean and get sober, they have to break the curse. Is there this curse also just culturally that blacks are going to end up in prison, that if you have an addiction, you're on your own? How can we start to break the curse in ourselves as well as in our communities?
Lisa, I really feel, first of all, that curses can be broken.
Yes.
And I really think sometimes we have used that as a good excuse, or there's no such thing really as a good excuse, but as an excuse,
sure,
to continue in my addiction or to continue in the type of lifestyle that I led or that we live. Mm-hmm. We say it's a curse on me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, curses are made to be broken and can,
yes,
be changed and broken. It's all in the will of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And having a God on your side, there's no curse that can't be broken.
And that's a message we do have to hear. You know, Marveline, I've just learned so much, has talked about the need in the black community and in all of our community, but especially the black community, to start getting to folks early and not wait till they get to prison. In your congregation, is that a place that is an appropriate place for ministers to talk about this illness, just as they talk about cancer or talk about death? Can you talk about substance abuse from the pulpit?
Yes, you can. But when you expound upon it too much, or a number of your sermons are based around that, then you get some criticism. I know I have.
Yeah.
And I have to oftentimes stay from the addictions and my personal witness and testimony, because it is what I am.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. And I am a product. I'm what I am today because of where I've come from.
Right.
And what I have experienced. And
didn't Jesus go to, I mean, being Jewish, I forgive my ignorance, but didn't Jesus go to the people that were hurting the most oppressed, the sickest?
Sure he did.
So why do people not want to hear about something that's killing our communities?
In my culture, and I say it oftentimes, you're supposed to be able to handle certain things.
Yeah.
And then some people, some don't see drugs and alcohol
as a sickness,
an addiction as mm-hmm. sickness.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've been into treatment centers where the program, there were 12 steps, and then there was the Bible. And I've seen people get clean and sober in both.
Sure.
So I don't go around criticizing.
Right.
Either.
No. Right.
You know.
Absolutely.
Because I have seen the results.
Just go find the solution. Yeah, whatever it is.
The success of both.
Right.
But I am not a critic of whatever it takes to keep a person clean and sober. That's what I pro.
So when you do share from the pulpit, do people, do you feel it opens doors for people to come to you then and share? Or is there still this, keep it in the house?
I still have the old more ways and folk ways and culture shock that the preacher is not supposed to preach that kind of gospel. In fact, it's, you don't incorporate it. But I must, and I can't stay away from it indefinitely.
Right.
I have to do, and I don't preach the holier-than-thou sermon, because I am not.
Right, right.
And I know very few who really are.
Yeah.
You know, show me someone who is so holy. Give them enough time.
Yeah. They'll fall from grace for sure.
Do enough research. And you will see that they are not always so holy
right.
than thou.
So you see yourself as a messenger of hope and faith.
I am that. Whatever I am,
I am
that. And I have even sometimes become a victim of what I do preach and teach. And I have had relationships that have worked against me because I believe I can help. We believe there is hope for an individual.
Yeah, to not give up.
To not give up.
Yeah.
And there are people that I have not given up on simply because there were some people who didn't give up on me.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
There were many that did. And maybe justifiable. I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some, Lisa, I had a mother. And I still have a father. I still have relatives. I still have people in the community, my sponsor and so on, who believed in me at my lowest. And I went from California to Louisville, from Nashville to Lafayette, Indiana. I have gone halfway across this nation to treatment centers. But that really didn't do it. Unless an individual has an awakening of some kind that they know. I preach a sermon sometimes when enough is enough.
That's a great sermon. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. And until a person says, I've had enough of the curse, I've had enough of the abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some use, I was abused as a kid. Well, but you're not a kid now.
That's right.
That's you right. know, please.
Enough is enough.
We can keep using whatever as an excuse to go back to my old ways and my old habits that I found comfortable myself in if I want to go back there. Mm-hmm. And I have...
It's tough love.
It's tough love. And
it
I
really
have members,
is.
Parishioners who say, Reverend, you don't have to preach about when you in jail. You don't have to preach about alcohol and drug abuse. You don't have... And I try to get
But that's
over
your story.
As best I can to people. But I am what I am.
Right. Popeye said that.
And when I hide that,
right.
That's not really me. When you hear me preaching a sermon and I don't try to incorporate that to help somebody, it's not to put me up on a pedestal.
No.
People don't
sure.
look up to drug addicts. People don't look up
prisoners,
to alcoholics.
Right.
People don't look up to sex offenders.
That's right.
You know, so when I incorporate that, it's not for me. It's to say what I am, but what God has done with my life, because I couldn't do it.
Well, and it sounds like you're going in with eyes wide open, too. You know people are going to be turned off, like Martin Luther King. You know when you're marching in this recovery
sure,
story,
sure.
people aren't always going to want to hear your message, but you keep going. That's
Lisa,
awesome.
You are going up against the odds.
Mm-hmm.
And in
as a minister.
In your
for sure.
background.
Yeah.
Your race, your religion.
Oh, absolutely.
What you have had to go up against in
yes.
the world, in society.
Sure, sure.
Same thing with me and my people. we have had to go up against the odds. Mm. And it's become so deeply embedded that some people don't want you to preach from the pulpit about our sons and daughters who are incarcerated and how they got there and why they are there.
Yeah, we'd rather turn the other cheek.
We'd rather turn the other cheek or turn the other side and not hear that part.
So maybe, Reverend Walter, what you're doing is ruffling feathers that need to be ruffled. It hurts. They don't want to hear it. It makes them uncomfortable. They go to a different place. But they need to hear it.
Lisa, I have been able to start a church that I believe.
Yeah, what's the name of your church?
New Horizons.
I'm going to come.
Because I had some new horizons in my life, and it was revealed to me. Do a church.
Wow, that's awesome. Where is it?
On Lincoln Avenue, 800 Lincoln Avenue. And it is a Church of New Horizons.
That's a great name.
And I believe in it so that I have invested whatever I have had and whatever I have in that, that someone would carry the message on that there can be a new horizon in your life. Mm. And if you look into it deep enough, all of us, or most of us, have a need at some time or another for a new horizon.
Awesome.
And that's just what it's named. That's just what it is.
That's awesome, Walter. That is awesome.
I thank God for what he has done.
Well, and your message is so powerful and of such hope. And we need people in your place to talk more openly about this. It is a civil rights issue.
Yes.
There are
yes.
disproportionate number of blacks in prison.
There is.
And yeah, it is a civil rights issue. But I think you calling on your own community and me too to wake up and stop the curse, it's up to us to walk them through that.
You know, even, Lisa, let me say this. I'm a denominational person simply because where I was reared and so on. We tend to look down upon the problem of drinking and drugging in our church. And that is the strongest influence that we have in our community.
It's the church.
Yes. And I don't care who says what.
No, that's...
You can call it whatever you want.
That's the center.
But that is the center of my culture.
Right.
That is the center of whatever change has come about in our culture. It's come through the church.
From the church, that's true.
And God has sent leaders
and the ministry
for
yes.
us.
Yes.
And our people through the church. And you can debate it and be whatever you want to be. It's okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
Each of us have our own callings. And all of it's not in the church. But it has had the strongest influences in movements and in change. And my whole point is this, is that I think the church, the preacher, the pastor, the teacher has to some kind of way say that, listen, if it's a curse, it can be broken.
Mm-hmm.
If alcohol and drug abuse and sex abuse is in our churches, there is help.
Yes.
It's not something that we need to
turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek,
yeah.
Or push to the side, or you don't incorporate this in your sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a member tell me, you know, Reverend, don't talk about your jail experience. You don't have to talk about your prison experience. You've been there. You paid your debt to society. You're clean now. We don't believe you're doing any alcohol or drugs.
Right.
So you don't have to preach about that now, Reverend.
Hmm.
I said, yeah, but I must.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I am.
Good for you.
And it's a decision that you make.
Yeah, and it's a risk that you take.
It's a risk that you take, but you either believe it or you don't. You either are,
that's
you either
right.
are clean or you're not. You either sober or you're not. And I'm not talking
that's
about...
Right.
That you haven't always had drugs and alcohol in your system.
Right.
That's no longer there. There's some folk out here sicker than any addict ever been.
Without using it.
Without using the
yes.
thing. They're sick.
Yes. Well, you know, my judge, when he hired me in Warwick County, I said, do you want people in this community to know that I'm in recovery? And he said, absolutely. It's who you are. It's part of your message. Sure. You don't have to go out telling everybody every day. But, sure. Yeah, don't sidestep that. Yeah. It's who we are, definitely.
Yes, it really is. It's a part of my life.
What an honor.
And it's a part of where I've come from.
And you want people to know.
What
sure.
I've come to.
Yes.
And someday we'll be able to put a sign up on Lincoln Avenue and let people really know what the New Horizons story is all about.
Well, you've just started to tell us the New Horizons story. Will you come back?
Certainly, Lisa.
We definitely want to hear more about the New Horizons.
Thank you. And I want to share someday what I learned in your temple.
Oh, good.
Experiences.
Well, then we're going to make a date.
I have taught my people about what slavery really is all about.
Well, you're just giving us something to come back
well,
and listen we to. We will.
To so many things in our community.
Yes.
It has shackled us. It has been a form of slavery that is devastating to a people.
You're right. You're right. And we'll come back and talk about that on Radio Rehab.
Thank you.
Everybody, don't forget between now and next Saturday to do the next right thing. We'll be back. You can listen to Walter on www.lisaseifcares.net. On the internet, hit podcast, or you can find him at New Horizons, which is his church where he's carrying the message of New Horizons and a lot of the 12-step meetings. If you go to those, you'll see Walter there. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.